When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. I am your co-host, Michelle Maros, and I am here with my mom sitting across the table from me. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How's it going?
It is going well, and I'm laughing because we do spend so much time talking with each other, and it's always so wonderful to come together once a week to actually record this podcast. And I laugh because we are constantly talking with each other.
It's a lot.
And for whatever reason today, it just feels so funny now because we've been talking a lot because of whatever. We just happen to be talking a lot. And it just felt funny to sit down and now record a podcast and talk some more. So I'm great.
We are always talking to ourselves, to each other, to the microphone, to the walls.
It's life.
Yeah. How's it going being you today, Barbara?
Actually, really well. I feel like I'm progressing in some things that I'm working on in my life. And I woke up this morning feeling very confident and sure that the next step that I'm going to take is going to be a good one, or not necessarily good, you know, good and bad. Those kind of words don't really resonate for me, but it's going to be the next step that I'm being guided to take.
That's a very interesting insight.
Yeah. It's nice to wake up. There's something about waking up feeling in alignment with your life and feeling in alignment with what life is presenting you, that feels freeing. And I think I feel that way today. So I'm happy to be here having a beautiful conversation.
We absolutely love to hear it. This week is an exciting topic. I am a practicer of this. And so the tips that we're going to talk about for this nagging habit have helped me immensely. But I know that this is something that many of us out there struggle with. And prior to hitting record on this podcast, you, mother, were
I don't know.
You were participating in this habit.
In this topic.
Participant.
Yes.
What is it?
Well, I think I love that you're bringing this up before we actually get into it, because I feel like when you can identify this in your life, it's a game changer. So today we're going to talk about overthinking. And what does that mean to overthink? And then I'm going to go one step further and say that often I think I am thinking about thinking. Let that settle for a moment.
Yeah, you took it there.
Like, how can we actually be so aware of when we're thinking about thinking or we're overthinking in our lives? Because I promise you, I really believe that this is where so much of our energy goes and so much of our mood.
Yes. Well, you are the mind expert. Mind expert.
I like to think that I'm a mind expert only because I've been practicing meditation and mindfulness for 40 years. And I've really done a deep dive for those 40 years in understanding the mind, doing a lot of research and a lot of reading about the mind, but also practicing and being curious about what is my mind thinking right now? And what is it about what's happening in this moment is making my mind think right now? And just, I have all those curiosities about the mind because I feel like when I got out of treatment 40 years ago, one of the things that I was determined was to stop believing the thoughts that my mind was telling me that I'm not enough, you know, that I'm not worthy, that I'm not smart enough, that I'm not pretty enough, that all the things, because all those things were stopping me from being not a success so much, because I was actually successful. All the while, my mind was telling me that I wasn't enough. It made me want to produce more, to do more, to never take a break and never stop. But actually what it was doing though was telling me that it really doesn't matter who you are. It matters what other people think of you and how you look. And so, yeah, I've done a lot of research and a lot of thinking about thinking and overthinking. So I'm excited about this topic today. I think we will have a lot to share, and I'm really going to be curious for all of you listening if this resonates. Like it's hard to really identify that you're overthinking. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes we don't think we're thinking enough. If I just think hard enough and I just think long enough, I'm going to get to the answer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to know what it is that I need to do. Mm-hmm. So many times we fault ourselves for not having a mind that thinks enough, mm-hmm. or for not having a mind that's good enough or creative enough. So
mm-hmm.
you're laughing at me because
I'm agreeing with everything that you're saying.
Yes.
And as we know, and as we've talked about, you know, the thoughts that you think create the home that you live in, you know, you're the one that's living with the thoughts of your mind. And what can we do to make that home pleasant? And overthinking is that habit of ruminating and worrying and planning and trying to get to the bottom of things. And without necessarily a particular goal or endpoint in mind, like I think it's just limitless of letting your mind go. And it's very easy to fall into that rabbit hole of that where you're just constantly going. And that's exhausting. It takes up so much energy. It's confusing. Because I know I've overthought myself into like circles where I can start at thinking one thing and then loop back around to thinking something totally different just to get back to the original thought. So today we just want to talk about overthinking and some signs of it, because it can be sneaky, because obviously, like you were saying, Mom, like our brains are meant to think.
Mm-hmm.
Our minds are creative. We can't quiet the mind. We don't want to. That's where we get all of the good ideas and insights and wisdom from life. So where are some of those sneaky areas of life where we could potentially be overthinking? And just to cultivate that awareness, obviously awareness is always the first step towards noticing things, making changes, and acknowledging that it's happening.
And if I could add one more thing about being a mind expert, as you said earlier, I feel I have studied and been practicing this for so long, and I feel very strongly that our minds have never been trained. And I feel like the mind is like a puppy and the mind has to be trained. I feel like we then actually have to become the bouncer or the gatekeeper of the mind, of the thoughts in the mind, because we have no control over what thoughts are going to come into the mind. And this is what's key. As Michelle takes us through this podcast episode today, that we have no control over the thoughts that come into the mind, but we have 100% control over the thoughts that we're going to allow to take root in the mind, that we're going to allow to stay in the mind, that we are going to believe in the mind. And so at the end of this episode, I'm hoping that you feel just a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more powerful in the thought that you become a gatekeeper, you become a bouncer.
Mm.
Like you have all the power in what you're going to believe and what you're going to, and what thoughts you're going to allow to be in your mind, but you have no control over what thoughts are going to come into the mind. So I would like to just start off by saying, please dispel the rumor or the thought that you have control of what thoughts come in the mind. And now allow yourself to be open and curious and receptive to how you can manage and how you can be the boss of the thoughts you will allow to stay in the mind or the thoughts that you will dispel from the mind when they come in.
It's true.
That's why I think I'm a mind expert. I know all of these things to be true. Am I perfect at it? Absolutely not. But I do believe that my mind is, for the most part, a friend because I don't allow the thoughts that aren't true to live in my mind for very long. So go ahead, Michelle. I don't want to hijack this episode.
Nope. You're all good. It's true. It's a lot. It's a lot to think about, but, it's worthwhile. You know, I think about it as like in the front end of entering this journey of being aware of the thoughts in your mind, you're going to probably be more in your head about it as you kind of take that inventory or start to recognize that in this instance of overthinking or spiraling into storytelling and all of those things. But it's just, you know, momentary awareness to see kind of like what you don't want.
So. I love that, Michelle. That is absolutely genius, what you just said. It is the only way to become aware because we actually don't even know what we're thinking all the time, most of the time.
No.
If we could actually see our thoughts going across a screen all day long, we'd be like, what? None of this makes any sense. It's so random. One thing most of the time doesn't even go with the next thing and the thoughts are just popping up and they don't have anything to do with each other for the most part. So we have to become the scientists. We have to perform the experiment, which you said so beautifully is going to mean that we have to be aware of what we're thinking.
Yes. It's powerful. Practices. Love it. Number one, overthinking. My telltale sign of that I could be in the realm of overthinking is that mental exhaustion. And the first thing that I come up with is that if I'm really tired, even though I'm in a good routine or I've gotten adequate sleep, or if I'm not, you know, on the road, or if crazy things aren't happening, like my apartment being flooded, if everything is pretty average and I'm just exhausted and I can check out all of those other possibilities, that's generally a sign for me that I've been overthinking. My mind is going even though I'm trying to rest. You know, I often think about when you finally get into bed and you close your eyes and you turn everything off and you just can't get your mind to stop. And you have a good practice to help mitigate that, which is reflection. And
yeah,
I love when you start to, when you say of letting your letting go practice and kind of working to release that, because when you're quiet, the mind will want to go. They're like, this is the time where I can bring up all of those things that you wouldn't let me think about throughout the day.
Well, I think, sorry.
No, sorry.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
No.
I think it feeds right into it. It goes right hand in hand in how you started this whole episode, in that we have to be aware. And so I am keenly aware that my mind will want to keep thinking about things even though there's nothing to think about, or even though there's nothing to worry about, or even though there's nothing to plan. So we need our minds to be creative. We need our minds to plan. We need our minds to think when we need them to think. So I think it's important to, as you're listening to this, is my mind just off on its own, running a race all day long with no leader, you know, with no ability to understand that, wait a minute. So when Michelle's talking about my reflection time at the end of the day, bedtime and sleep time is for bedtime and sleep time. And it's for really re-nourishing ourselves, allowing ourselves an opportunity to rest. And rarely do we just say, okay, I want to rest right now, and be the boss of that. I want to rest right now. So I have a reflection period at the end of the day that I get into bed when everything is off and everything is done and I'm done. So I actually say to my mind, okay, this is the end of the day. I do some affirmations. I do some mantra repetition, and I actually look at my day as a movie, or I look back on the things that went well, the things that didn't go as I had hoped they had gone. And actually just kind of go through a little list or a little thought, just very briefly, maybe a minute or two, so that I can get that out of the mind system. And then at the end of that, you know, I say, okay, it's time for rest. It's time to go to sleep and close my eyes and start repeating an affirmation or a mantra. And so if my mind tries to start thinking again, because I'm aware of when I'm thinking and I'm aware of when I'm using an affirmation or a mantra or a prayer or a passage, whatever that is, that feels right for you. I use all of those at any given time. I'm the boss. I already said I'm not thinking anymore. I'm going to rest. Mm-hmm. So when my mind wants to start thinking, oh, Barb, but you forgot, you need to call Michelle first thing in the morning. Well, it's midnight. I don't need to call Michelle now. So I don't even need to think about calling Michelle now. Mm-hmm. I need to rest. So I bring my mind back to the passage or the prayer or the mantra or the affirmation that I'm using. And I fall asleep. I fall asleep very quickly at night because the mind has learned after all these years that, okay, she's serious. We're not going to be thinking. We're going to be sleeping when she gets in bed and closes her eyes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what I mean, how you can become the boss of your own mind. I can't control the thoughts that come in, but I'm not allowing them to come in. I'm saying, you know what? I'm being very kind. I'm not being, you know, combative, or I'm not being really harsh. I'm being very kind. Look, this is bedtime. I know I need to call Michelle in the morning, and I will call her in the morning when I wake up. I will remember to call her in the morning when I wake up. So I trust myself. I trust my mind. So I don't have to keep overthinking, and I don't have to keep remembering, oh, I got to remember this. And I don't have to be hard on myself to keep saying to myself, oh, don't forget this, Barb. You're good at forgetting things. You're getting older. No, it's really a practice of being kind to yourself and loving to yourself and giving yourself the rest and letting your mind know you're the boss.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Oh, because for me, overthinking, no, I just add this one more thing. To me, overthinking, not only at just bedtime, to me, overthinking, my immediate red flag about overthinking, and all of you can kind of practice with this and see if this rings true for you. My immediate red flag is when my mind says, if I just think this long enough and hard enough, mm-hmm. I will be able to come to a conclusion or a resolution or a plan or a creation, and then I'll be done. Mm-hmm. That never works.
Yeah, that's the sneaky.
That is my biggest red flag. I'm not thinking long enough on this. I'm not thinking hard. I know I can think my way out of this. When I count on the mind, after it's been thinking, when I count on the mind to be my refuge, I know that I'm in trouble.
Yeah, 100%. Another sneaky way of overthinking that comes up a lot for me is when I find myself replaying past conversations in my mind. Mm. And that is also a huge source of anxiety for me, because if I think that I've said something or done something in a conversation wrong, and I'm replaying it, but then also maybe not necessarily knowing exactly how to replay it accurately, your mind is going to say, oh, well, you said it this way, and this is why you feel uncertain about it, because you were meaner than you think you were, or you were snarkier, or you didn't say it correctly, or no, this person had a reaction when you said that, and they looked like they were judging you, or they didn't respond as fast as I wanted them to. All of those habits is exhausting, anxiety producing, and it's a big one for me when it comes to overthinking.
I love this so much, Michelle. The big red flag for me is we know when we've said something wrong, or we know when we've said something hurtful, or we know when our words didn't come out the way that we might have hoped they came out or would have come out. So we know. So that's why I'm a big believer of being in the moment. And when you catch yourself after you've, you know, on a phone call or in a text message or in a meeting or in a conversation with a family member, whatever it is, when you catch yourself, when the minute you get up from it or when it's over and you say to yourself, whoa, I just said something that didn't land right or wasn't something that I think that was in alignment with what I meant. Clarify it right there in the moment. Do it. Don't do it later. Don't think about it later. Do it in the moment. Because if you don't, You are exactly right, Michelle. Your mind will rethink it to a point where you will have changed the whole conversation.
Yeah.
And you will either soothe yourself into believing that you didn't do anything that was not understood or that was maybe landed wrong. Your mind will eventually get to a place, you know what, you're good. You did everything just fine. It's their problem if they can't understand it. Mm-hmm. I promise. Our minds do that. They're going to make you fine after you get done overthinking for 5 hours or 10 hours or 5 days. They're going to make it fine. And then you're going to run into the same meeting or be in with the same person. And you're going to feel a little off or you're going to feel a little vibe from the person or the meeting. And then it's like, oh gosh, I knew that maybe I didn't say something that wasn't right, but that's their problem. Mm-hmm. I was fine.
And also you can, if you notice it, like you can send a text, hey, mm-hmm. I'm feeling weird. Did I say something today? Or, you know, get in the habit of like kind of calling yourself out rather than letting yourself overthink. And if you're feeling weird, like, hey, I'm sorry if I was a little off today, and communicate. This is a huge one of communication. If you think that you said something wrong or you weren't showing up in the way that you usually show up or you feel uneasy about something, rather than writing the stories and let your mind overthink it, talk to the person if that's in your possibilities. But don't let yourself write stories about it.
No, and I also think to add one more thing to this, it's also really important not to start to people please or not to feel like you need to rewrite it or need to explain yourself better because maybe you felt like you were trying to please the person or you want to try to please them because maybe you said what you needed to say, but you're scared then or you're worried that they're going to not like you or you're worried that it's not going to land right. And I agree with you, Michelle. Either just trust that it is okay, mm-hmm. because if you were kind and if you said what you felt, it's okay. And if they didn't take it okay, then it'll come out somewhere. But you don't need to replay it and you don't need to redo it. And if you do, I love what you just said because I'm a firm believer of this. Act in the moment on it, mm-hmm. and don't let it fester and don't let it ruminate because there is nothing worse than overthinking a conversation that then you just don't do anything with it for one. You've mm-hmm. just wasted, you just used that energy and that precious resource of the mind to overthink something that you have no intent, you're not doing anything about. There's nothing worse than that because it is so exhausting, but that is a huge sign of overthinking when we feel like we have to change the outcome of something in the moment but actually in what happened. And we can have the power to do that if we do it.
Yeah. And then similarly,
or if we just let it go, sorry.
Yes. And similarly in the next example is also when it comes to texting too. I find that texting and even emailing, but I feel like texting is the faster communication tool, has brought up a lot of interesting overthinking tendencies for me because there is that level of unknown and uncertainty in texting. Like, no one knows for certain what your tone is when you're texting. And so there is that tendency of typing something out, deleting it, typing it out, deleting it, going over how you want to say it or what do you think the implied tone is going to be in these texts? And that's also exhausting. I think not letting yourself become perfectionistic in a sense of what you're saying and trusting that when you're present to your communications, you're going to be okay.
You know, Michelle, this is so, like, it's so right on, I think, for today's, you know, generation, for today's lives and all of the things, because what I just felt when you said that was that I won't send a text anymore. I've learned the hard way in many situations, but I won't send, and I've done what you said, I've redone a text 30 times. I won't send a text anymore that the tone matters. Mm. That there has to be, yeah, that there has to be a tone to begin with, because if the tone matters, it must be something pretty serious or deep or meaningful that I'm trying to send. So I call the person, mm-hmm. or I let it go. Or maybe I'm changing it 5 times because it's not really necessary because I'm trying to soothe myself or I'm trying to people please, or I'm trying to manipulate. You know, this is that what we talk about so often on this show, checking in with yourself. So if you're changing text messages or you're doing things, check in with yourself. I just did this last week. I've had a difficult situation with a work person, but it's not, I don't say work person. What am I trying to say? It's a colleague in town and a relatively new colleague, or I'm not even sure what I'm trying to say, but
I don't even know what you're
trying
to say.
Well, they sent an email. An email was sent that was, I didn't really exactly know how to respond. And I wasn't really sure that I wanted to respond, but I felt like I needed to. But why did I think that I needed to? Am I trying to, because, oh, it's rude not to? Whatever the reasons was, but I wrote out this whole email probably 10 times. And then I thought, you know what? Stop thinking, Barbara, stop doing this. What is going on? And I thought, you don't really even need to respond. The no response is a response and it's already kind of resolved already. So that's what I did. So I'm thinking the same thing in the same vein, that oftentimes there really isn't a response that's needed. And if the tone matters, don't send it an email or a text, call the person.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Let's take a quick break.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back. This is a big one for overthinking.
Oh, she's pointing her finger at me and showing me. This is really good.
I was just kind of being emphatic with what I was saying, but
I love it. No,
maybe
I love
it's
it.
For you.
Maybe.
If you're struggling to make decisions and you're constantly seeking out other people's opinions and insights.
I think that finger needs to be turned back around.
Wow. Called out.
No, I just know you and I've talked about this for decades and decades and decades.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this on the show. I have been an indecisive queen throughout my life. And that leads to insane overthinking.
Yeah. Insane overthinking. and not that I think all of us in some scenarios can be indecisive, but if indecisiveness is a key place in your life, then it's really something to take a look at, because being indecisive is got to be way up there to being one of the number one ways that we overthink.
Yeah. I mean, if there's something where you need to make a choice and you don't know what the choice is, your mind will not let you, without a practice, it won't let you stop. Because this is an example that you were saying, Mom, where you think if you just think a little bit longer, you'll get to the solution or you'll get to the answer or you'll get to the choice that you think you know you need to make. And so in any given moment, your mind will go to, okay, well, let's get back to this because it's eating away at me. It's lingering inside that there's this choice that I need to make and I got to get to the bottom of it.
It's brutal. Really, it is brutal. It's really important to practice being decisive in the smallest areas of your life. Because that practice of being decisive in the smallest areas, somebody says, where do you want to go for dinner? You know, or what movie do you want to go to tonight? Or what day do you want to get together and do a little party for our friends or whatever it is? It's really important to be decisive in those smaller areas of your life, because I think it kind of builds our ability to be able to be more decisive when it comes to the bigger situations in our lives. We have to build
confidence that you can trust your decision making.
Exactly. And listening to your gut. When someone says, where do you want to go for dinner? Often we might not know the exact place that we want to go, but we can say, you know, I'm open to the place, but I'd rather not have, Italian, or I would rather not have pasta, or I'd rather not have a hamburger, whatever it is. I don't even know what to say. I think we know what our gut is saying in the moment where we might not like to go. So maybe we could lead with that for a while as we're learning how to be more decisive. Saying, you know, I'm not quite sure where I really want to go, but I know that these are a couple of things that I don't want to do. And I've used that in my life before, in that idea of how do we know what it is we want to do with our lives, or how do we know what is the next purpose? When I say purpose, I like to think of purpose as not one thing that we're going to do for the rest of our lives, but what is life being leading me in the direction of in this moment? And what I've often done is say, okay, what do I not want to do? What do I know that this wouldn't light mm-hmm. me up inside? What do I know that doesn't work for me? So if you're not sure what you want, which is about being decisive, get clear on what you don't want, because that's mm-hmm. also being decisive.
Yeah, that's true. And building that confidence with the small choices, I think, is huge.
Yeah.
And giving yourself limits. I find that in overthinking, when if it's a decision, or if it's just something that's bothering me or a conversation, tell yourself, okay, I'm going to let myself think about this for 10 more minutes.
Yes.
And then I'm going to stop. And just keep practicing that as well, where if it comes back up, okay, finish this thought and then I'm done. And I find that just that awareness and the boundary with yourself can help to break that cycle as well.
It's beautiful. It's what I was saying at reflection time at night. It goes for all throughout the day. And this is a perfect example, Michelle, of how to do that. Giving yourself a time limit. You know, at night, I don't really allow my mind to think about what I have to do in the morning, because I will think about what I have to do in the morning. Nighttime is for sleeping. Same thing goes for this. Don't allow yourself to overthink what decision it is you have to make. Give yourself 5 minutes and say, okay, mind, we're done for now. I'll come back to it later if I haven't actually made the decision that I want to make.
Yeah, it's that like creating the new neural pathways in the brain of, okay, I'm done with this. Now what? Now where do we want to go? And getting into the habit of redirecting the mind and the thoughts is really helpful.
I think it also frees your mind up when you say, okay, I'm the boss and I'm done in 10 minutes. It also gives your mind the opportunity to be able to be open, receptive, and curious when you revisit it again. If it's something that has to be revisited, you come to it from a different vantage point. You come to it from a different place, and you're able to be, oh gosh. Oftentimes for me, when I've done that, I'll come back to it and I'll say, okay, now Barb, what is the decision that you need to make here? And the answer comes right away. Like it's seamless. I'm like, wait, what? How did that happen so quickly?
Right. It's like when they say you need to take a break from something, leave it and come, like sometimes with my puzzles.
No, well, just give yourself space.
Like, you know, you leave it and you come back and you have a fresh perspective, rest, clear mind. Taking that break can give you what you need. You know, the power in the pause.
Being indecisive is the perfect example, Michelle, of what you've been talking about, how overthinking is exhausting. Being indecisive is an incredibly exhausting practice, and it takes away our energy and our time.
Sure does. The next one is a bit similar, but I think it's similar but different than the first one, but falling asleep or staying asleep is a huge time for overthinking to, you know, raise its ugly head. And I know that in the beginning we talked about, you know, feeling that exhaustion and not feeling like you're getting a good night's rest. But I know for certain in times where I've, you know, kind of been tossing and turning and waking up in the middle of the night worrying about something, it's likely that your brain is on overdrive.
This, I'm smiling because this is such a great, this is such a great example and such a good practice. So, oh my gosh, decades ago, I went on a Zen Buddhist retreat, not to become a Buddhist or not to practice Buddhism necessarily, but I always, in reading about Buddhism and being such a eager learner of the mind, Buddhism for me is all about the mind. Mm-hmm. And so I was so, just wanted to just soak up everything about the mind that Buddhism had to teach, because I wanted to be a mind expert. So I went on this retreat And one of the things that they said, first of all, there was no schedule at all. Hmm. You went to wherever you were supposed to go when they rang the bell. So we knew where the dining hall was. We knew where the meditation hall was. We knew where the bathrooms were. We knew where our dorm was, all the things. We knew where things were. And they would ring the bell when we're ready to go to breakfast. They would ring the bell when it's time to go for a walk. They would ring the bell when it's time to go do a sitting meditation. So especially in the morning, I remember when we were doing the orientation, someone raised their hand and said, "So what time do we wake up in the morning?" And the teacher said, "When we ring the bell." And the person said, "Well, what time is that?" "When we ring the bell." It's because we're so keyed in on needing the time. We need the schedule. We need to know. Like, how could we just wake up and allow ourselves to be open enough to follow the bell to the breakfast hall? And so this was so profound in that feeling of, we don't have to be so concerned with and overthinking, where are we supposed to go? Oh my gosh, how am I going to function if I don't know what time to get up? Or how am I going to function if I don't know where to go? And so the other component of that piece was huge, but the other component of that during one of the sessions was all about sleeping. So sleeping is about sleeping. The bed is about sleeping. So what they said to us was, the bed is for sleeping. And if we wake up in the middle of the night and the mind is thinking, if the practice that I have is I say, wait a minute, I'm not thinking right now because I'm sleeping. So I use one of my affirmations or I use one of my mantras. But if that doesn't work, if the mind is really in overdrive because there's a very anxious, anxiety-producing thing happening in my life, the teacher at that moment said, you get up and you go sit in a chair. Mm. And the chair is for thinking. And so little by little, the mind starts to realize, wait a minute, I'm in the bed. The bed's for sleeping. And I would get up and I would go in the chair and I would start thinking, but I was so tired. And I'd say to myself, why are you in this chair thinking? You can't do anything about the thinking while you're sleeping anyway. And so I'd get back in the bed and sleep. It's the whole practice of becoming aware of what the mind is trying to get you to do and understanding that what it's telling you, you don't need to follow. So if the mind wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, you have to start planning this or you're going to be screwed. You're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah.
That's a lie. You can't do anything at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I think trusting that when you wake up in the morning after having a good night's sleep, you will have a different perspective on how to, you know, solve the challenge that's you're facing or what to say to the coworker or how to mend a relationship that you feel like you want to try to mend.
It's true. I love that tip of if you're up in the middle of the night tossing and turning, like overthinking, get up and, you know, go sit in a chair and say, okay, if you're going to think, but we're not going to do it here.
And you'll feel how uncomfortable that is.
Yeah,
Gosh, I don't want to be sitting up in this chair at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Why am I doing this? This is crazy. And don't beat yourself up and don't be hard on yourself. Be gentle. I'll say to myself, Barb, this is because you're meant to be sleeping right now. So trust that you will know what it is you need to do in the morning, that having a good night's sleep is the number one priority for you to have the best morning you could possibly have or have the next day be something that you're refreshed and ready for. Mm-hmm. The mind will be sharp. The mind will be rested. The mind will be open and receptive to maybe some new ideas that may come to it.
Yeah, there's no worse feeling than spending a whole night tossing and turning and agonizing and then waking up feeling worse, you know, or not rested or not clear or not fresh and having to go through that again.
Well, that's why we have to become aware of what the mind is doing and what's happening. That's why awareness is key. And we start to become aware that, wait a minute, the simple fact that I can't do anything about this at 2 o'clock in the morning, but what if I trusted that if I get a good night's sleep and that new ideas will come to me tomorrow that maybe I hadn't even thought of, or I will really be so refreshed and not exhausted and not overwhelmed that I'll magically know what the answer is when I wake up, like trusting that that could happen. It's happened to me before. Mm-hmm. Where it's been a really hard day. I've had difficulty getting my mind to understand we're not going to be thinking. And so I get to my good night's sleep and I wake up the next morning. Have you ever had this happen to you before where you jump out of bed and you say, oh my gosh, I know exactly what I need to do in this situation. Mm. And we all kind of, you kind of smile at yourself and you say, whoa, how did that happen? Well, how that happened was you allowed yourself to sleep when you needed to sleep and to think when you need to think. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole key of this whole practice and this whole episode.
I love it. Let's take another quick break. And we're back. So you unknowingly touched on our next topic.
Ooh, what?
Or our next example.
Oh.
With the schedules.
Oh.
I think overthinking comes from the need to feel extremely organized and to know everything that's about to happen. And you talking about that on your retreat that one time of you didn't know and people wanted to know. And so what does that look like in everyday life?
Wow, that is really a great question. How to transfer that experience that I had at that Zen Buddhist retreat where there was no schedule. But there was a schedule. See, that's the cool thing was there was a schedule. We just didn't have it. So it's such an interesting thing. How do we, I didn't mean to interrupt you, for what I'm thinking about this question that you're asking is how can we not hold our desires and our opinions and our needs and our, not needs, that's the wrong word, our desires and our opinions and our schedule so tightly that we make no room for out of the ordinary things that might happen or the creative things that might come into our lives or the possibilities that might present itself. So I'm a fan of having a schedule, but I'm also a fan of having openness in the schedule, having places in my schedule where if something comes up, I can fit it in or I can easily slide it in. And I'm also a fan of trying to be in the moment. And I think this year has shown me how much not being in the moment and not being one-pointed in the moment has been very detrimental to me and how important that is to be that way. I actually don't function at my best when I'm trying to do two things at once or when I'm scheduled to do a podcast episode like we're doing right now and I have five other things before it. Mm-hmm. It's not how I've trained myself to work. And so when I try to do that anyway or I fall into the trap of wanting to do that anyway and thinking it'll be okay, it never is. It might be okay for one day or it might be okay for a week or it might be okay for a month. But what this episode is trying to say, it has a burden effect and it has a cumulative effect for me. Mm-hmm. And I can end up incredibly exhausted and feeling like I don't even know which end is up. Yeah. So I feel like the schedule is necessary.
Right. Of course, we all have schedules. We all have places we need to be and things we need to do and responsibilities. But I think it's that very subtle aspect of feeling lost even without one. Or like the rigidity or not having the flexibility of the creativity that can come from pulling back a little bit.
I had a musician say to me a long time ago, I think it might've been on a retreat. It was a violinist. And she said, she used this analogy for life. She said, if I tune my violin strings too tightly, they will break. Mm-hmm. If I tune my violin strings too loosely, I can't play. And so really it's about, for her, it was about finding that sweet spot in the violin. How do I find that sweet spot as I'm tuning my instrument? So I think if we can look at that analogy for our lives, how do we find the middle path? I like to talk about the middle path. Or how do we find that sweet spot in our lives where we're not holding on too tightly and we're not holding on too loosely? So I think that's pertinent for our schedule. How do we do that? How do we live our lives where we're not so rigid? Really, it's all about rigidity. Where we're not so rigid and we're not so easy breezy. I don't really care what happens because we do care what happens. Mm-hmm. But we also can care too much and be too rigid about it, thinking that we can have to control it to the nth degree, which is not possible.
Right.
So I think finding that sweet spot in life and finding that middle path. And thinking about, I love visuals. They're my favorite thing on the planet, really. Visuals. They help me so much for my learning and they help me so much on how to put it into practice in my daily life. So that visual, when she said that, because she was a beautiful violinist, when she said that really rang true for me. How can I be not so tight and rigid in my life? And how can I be not so loose and not caring in my life and finding that sweet spot and that middle path?
I love that. That's a tough one to swallow for a lot of us, mm-hmm. but that curiosity about it, of what could life look like, or how would I feel if I opened up to a different way of approaching this, can bring a lot of peace. And I find that very helpful.
Yeah. Helpful and comforting that there is a way. Mm-hmm. We just have to be open to seeing it differently, which you talk about a lot. How do we, when something comes in our path that we're not really understanding and we can't figure out how to get through it or around it or over it or whatever, how can we see it differently?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a poem that I love so much that I don't remember the entire thing, but it starts off, how do I cross the flood? I might have used this.
Oh, you've talked this so many times.
Yeah. Well, think about that as a visual if you need it. How do I cross the flood? You cross it gently, or you cross it mindfully, or you cross it one step at a time, or not at all. So it's like figuring that out. How do I do this in a mindful way that's going to benefit me and everyone that's around me and the planet and the world and people? One little baby step at a time, or not at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the way. And we're literally crossing a flood physically
yes,
in my house.
Are. Yes, we are.
The last one that I have for you
today. And you're smiling, big smile.
Because this one I think is for you. It's Ooh. For the perfectionists that are listening.
Oh, true.
The type A, the type A's in our world, where you tend to focus on some of the less important details and put a lot of importance on them rather than remembering the big picture goals.
Yes.
Yeah, you're having a hard time with that one.
No. Well, what I'm laughing about is, so for all of you listening, can you imagine a type A like me? Michelle is exactly right. I am recovering perfectionist, recovering type A, the person that had to have everything exactly the way it needed to be. And I don't mean in a way of being that organized, but I mean in a way of like the outcome had to be what I needed for it to be. Like things were held very tightly in many situations in my life. And so it's been 40 years of unraveling that tightness and that need to be perfect and that need to have things be in a way that I can have some control. And I think, I guess for me, it feels like, I'm trying to think of an example for that.
Well, I have one.
Okay.
I think in a situation where you let a small aspect of a big goal take up so much time where you can't move forward. Like maybe, let's say, hey mom, I want to do some new Barb Knows Best merch. And I really want to do a cute graphic that says trust your timing, because we talk about that so much. And I want to put it on a sweatshirt. And you say, but Michelle, what font are we going to use? And I say, I'm not sure yet, but we can look at some options and we can play around with it. And well, Michelle, what font, like we need to decide what, cause how are we going to know what it's going to look like? And then how big is the font going to be? And are people going to be able to read it? And we can't move forward. And then I think it's that kind of mentality of getting stuck in some of the minutiae of life, rather than being more open to the flow of allowing things to progress without being so rigid, like you were saying.
I see. That's a good example. And I like, because I feel like the reason I hesitated when you asked that question is there's something about that book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, that mm-hmm. kind of raised like the hair on the back of my neck sometimes, when thinking for me, details matter.
They do.
And so I was just going to say, so I was trying to,
it's the discernment.
It's the discernment. Beautifully said, Michelle. So I'm always in that, in that realm of, okay, what is the small stuff that I need to pay attention to? Or what are the things that are making me stuck here? And I'm not looking at the big picture. So in your example, the big picture is, let's do a cool Barb Knows Best t-shirt or sweatshirt or whatever it is. That's the big picture. You just wanted to hear from me, hey, that's a great idea. Now let's, now mom, we'll go take the first step and let you take a look at it. Mm-hmm. Where I was seeing myself lost in, oh my gosh, what's it going to look like? How much time is it going to, I mean, I had all the things that were so far ahead of where you were in the very beginning. So I was down the road of needing all these questions answered when that isn't even where we were. We were at the beginning stage. You just wanted to know if it was a good idea and I liked it. Mm-hmm. And so definitely, and I think that's an example of staying in the present moment. Do you want to do it? Do you not want to do it? And if you do, okay, now what are all the steps to do it? And so I think that whole thing about, I don't even know. It's a very tricky thing because
it's just
think
the discernment on where you want to place your energy and how much energy you want to place on something.
For sure. No, for sure. But I think I wouldn't separate it out as being small stuff or big stuff or big picture, little picture.
All right, fair.
But because I see what you're saying. And I've been wrestling with this for many, many, many years. I heard Meryl Streep, she gave a talk at one of the award shows, I don't know, decades ago. And the whole talk, and maybe we could find it and link it if you want to in the notes. The whole talk was about how the details matter. And she went through this whole talk about the details that she was referring to with a director that she'd worked with. And it made me cry. And it almost is bringing up some tears now because it was so beautifully said. And I thought that, and why it made me cry is that's me.
Right.
That's me. So
the perfectionist is going to try and find a way to make it about perfectionism.
Perfectionism is something that really keeps you stuck. And I think it really behooves any of us that are perfectionists to try to unravel that and find a way to find that middle path that I was talking about before.
And perfectionism certainly breeds overthinking because you're never content with what is because you always think that there's something that you can do better.
Yes.
And so just being mindful of that for sure.
And being okay that if you make a mistake, you have a do-over.
Yeah.
In whatever situation it is. Or you learn something if you can't do it over. Just really trusting that anything that happens that isn't up to the standard that you think it should be or that has produced a result that's caused you not to feel like it's where you'd like to be. Okay. You learned something. As you always say, Michelle, good to know.
Good to know. So quick, rapid fire. What is your favorite practice to manage overthinking?
Pausing. When I start my mind, when my mind's, well, the red flag is, talked about it, I think, first thing in the episode. The red flag is if I think that if I just think hard enough and long enough, I will have the answer that I need. Red flag, that's never going to happen for me. So I pause when my mind is thinking. I can feel when I'm overtired from overthinking. Mm-hmm. I stop. I say, okay, Barbara, you thought enough about whatever it is I'm overthinking about or whatever it is I'm ruminating about. Or whatever it is I'm scared about. You've done this enough. It's mm-hmm. time to stop. I change the reel in the film. I fast forward to, okay, now it's time to go for a swim. And I don't even swim. Or, you know, it's time to go for a walk. Now it's time to take a little rest or take a bath or go work on a project that you know what this next step needs to be. I change the reel of the film that's happening with that
in your
overthinking,
mind.
Overthinking, overthinking in my mind.
And I would say mine is journaling. I think it's a perfect, I mean, giving your thoughts a home. That's mm-hmm. like the epitome of overthinking is your thoughts having nowhere to go and your mind is trying to hold on to it so you don't forget it or you don't lose it. And taking those thoughts and putting them onto paper and giving them somewhere to live has been hugely helpful for me. So those are a couple of options to help with that.
Perfect.
Thanks for indulging me in this conversation, Barbara.
I loved it, Michelle. Thank you.
I hope that this has helped all of our overthinkers out there because it's so exhausting and it's so taxing on our lives. And just start to notice these little areas and maybe pick one. Sleep, friends, texting, any of it. and just be mindful of it. And notice what happens and let us know. Send us a DM.
Yeah.
We love to hear from you.
Become a mind expert.
Yes. Go to Barb's Mind Expert School. That's what the new podcast is going to be called.
I love you all.
Thank you so much for listening and for being supportive of the show. Make sure you're connected to us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. Ask us questions, leave us comments, and give us podcast topic requests. And make sure you're liked and subscribed to the pod wherever you listen to pod, Apple, Google, Spotify. That's the best way to keep up to date with new episodes, etc. Leaving us a review and writing a note is super helpful for the show. So if you haven't yet, go do that. We would greatly appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being a part of our community. Thank you, Mom, for sharing your insights as always. And we will talk with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.